I was thinking as your brother was in Matthew, kind of what last week I had kind of taught on the teens. I did it as part of the opening of 2 Thessalonians, real quick, chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." So we have some people idle, but we also have some that are busy, but they're busy in the manner of not what the Lord would have us to be busy in. And so just because you're busy doesn't mean you're actually serving the Lord. Just because you show up here today doesn't mean you're serving the Lord. Doesn't mean you're saved. But if you have your Bibles, going up into Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to start reading here in verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 this morning. It says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." This morning, the thought for, I say, Sunday school hour kind of prepares for the worship hour this morning is the desire of Paul. The desires of Paul here, he wrote the book of Philippians. There's a couple of things I'd like to look at here, mainly in verse 10. The desires that Paul had, because I believe Paul is a great example for us nowadays. He went through the same thing as a lot of other writers of the Bible did. He has a lot of good wisdom and knowledge that the Lord has given him. But here, when we look at the desires of Paul in verse 10, it says, "That I may know Him." The person of Christ is we ought to know, the first thing we ought to do. That's when after we get saved, we should have the desire to tell others about who the person of Christ is, what He is to us. Some of you may know this last week, we lost an officer. He was a groomsman in my wedding. He took his own life this past week. There's several reasons why he may have did that. I don't know the exact cause of it all. Be in prayer for the police department and all the other officers there. But I did have the opportunity, and I would call it a privilege, to witness to him over the past, say, 5 years that I've known him. And I witnessed, I told the teens a story before, had the opportunity to witness to the Marion County prosecutor. She does all the felony and misdemeanor cases in Marion County, which is, you know, it's pretty much like witness to the governor. I mean, she's a big wig lady. And so I was witness to her, and she's I don't know what she was, a Lutheran, that's what it was. She was a Lutheran, but she was so much a Lutheran and so much a Christian, she didn't want to talk about Christ. She didn't want to hear what I had to say, but the officer was sitting there and another detective was sitting there. And so I thought my job was to tell them about the person of Christ, right? Isn't that our job after we get saved? Paul here is telling us in verse 10 that I may know Him, and if we know Him, we should tell others about Him. I know growing up down in North Carolina, my family, we'd always go around houses, whether it be family, you know, neighbors we grew up around, people of the church. And when we know people, we would go to their house. And a lot of times back then, you know, there was no cell phones. You really didn't call. You just stop by on a Saturday morning and you'd see them out in the yard. You stop in and say, hey, and next thing you know, you're there for 2 hours. And you would sit there. And I, as a kid, I thought it was boring, but I really learned something from that. You stop and you fellowship with those that you know. So why are we here this morning? We're here because, as desires of Paul stated here, that I may know Him. We're here this morning because we have a desire to fellowship and get to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is my Savior, and I appreciate that, that I may know Him. And if I know Him, I'm going to tell others about Him. A lot of people know a lot of things. They have a lot of wisdom, as far as earthly level wisdom, and they have a lot of knowledge. Brother John can get up here with a board, and he can explain to us how our bodies function in the chemistry sense, right? He can tell us about our DNA, kind of break it down, about the amino acids and the building blocks and all that. And that's great. But Brother John, our pastor, he's saved. He can tell us those things, but also supplement in there of what God has done, how He created us from that. Instead of having an earthly wisdom, He also has the biblical wisdom here. And so we know Him. We know the things that God's done for us. But so many people have the wisdom of the world. And so Getting back on the thought here of the person of Christ, that we may know Him, just because you show up here this morning doesn't mean you truly know Jesus, doesn't mean that you actually want to serve Him. But it's something that Paul emphasized here, that I may know Him. And then he says, and the power of His resurrection. And he also stated that in there. So we look at the person of Christ, we also have the power of Christ. And so the power of Christ, we can't help but to think of, as the Bible always points to Calvary, always points to what Christ has done here in the New Testament and the Old Testament, especially in the book of Isaiah. I know a lot of you are reading that. You should be somewhere in there, whether you're caught up with the church reading or not. But I really enjoy the book of Isaiah, how it's talking about Christ just continuously. And that we can see how the foreknowledge that was, you know, foretold back in the Old Testament of Christ, that they could see the person of Christ even before He came. And though we can see now the power of Christ after He came because of the statements here in the New Testament that have continually told us again and again what He's done. And so since we know the person of Christ, we ought to tell others about Christ and what He can do for us. That's the power of Christ. And then the third point this morning would be the pain of Christ. A lot of people don't want to deal with this. It says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Now, this isn't a, I guess you would say, a self-mutilation type, what a lot of people are into today as far as they want to feel pain. And they think that, you know, if they feel physical pain, that that will allow them to get to heaven or allow them to be a better Christian. We're not talking about that. Paul's here, he's referring to the fellowship of His sufferings. There's some things that Paul had to go through and some other writers had to go through. A lot of Christians who've laid the road for us, they've had to go through. But how many times do we live our life daily and weekly and we can't even handle a little bit of a suffering? There's a lot of preachers that I know here lately, and it's kind of let me down that they have no longer wanted to suffer for Christ. And it's a lot easier if you don't say anything that's going to cause a stir. You know, if you just say God is love and God is this and God is that, and you don't have any Bible doctrine in what you're saying, you know, all you want to talk about is the love of God, which I do want to talk about that because I'm glad that God loved me enough to send His Son here. But the pain of Christ here, he wanted to know His sufferings. He wanted to know what it is to be a part of Christ, as he's saying here. And so I see a lot of times Christians, preachers that I've known, have dropped the standard. They dropped the standard because that means they're going to have to, I guess, get a little bit of confrontation. You know, they're going to have to say, all right, well, why do you do what you do? Why do you go to church? Why do you dress like you dress? Why do you have the beliefs that you have? Oh, well, you know, you don't listen to country music. You know, you don't dress in the world. You know, you threw away your CDs. I knew one. My wife threw away her country CD she had when she was younger, and she had somebody get mad at her because she threw them away. Can you believe that, honey? You threw them away. I don't get mad at her, but, you know, she had a couple of them, but she threw them away when she got convicted of it, when a preacher preached on it. And she had somebody get mad at her because she threw them away. Hey, man, that's just a standard there, but I'm not going to dwell on that. But how many times do we know preachers who've lost their standards, who you try to say something biblical, you try to hold in a doctrinal stance, you try to tell others about Christ, you know, we believe in witnessing, we believe in handing out tracts, but how many times do we know preachers? I sat in Greenfield eating lunch with a preacher one day who told me that he was comfortable not witnessing the people. As a preacher that everybody probably here knows, he said he was comfortable not witnessing to people and handing out tracts. Now, it's not very comfortable for me to confront everybody and hand them a tract, but I enjoy it sometimes, you know. I can you believe that? I enjoy telling others about what Christ did for me. I know the other night we were in Walmart. I walked by a case of waters and had a tract that said the Romans Road. And then I was like, you know what? I don't have any tracts on me. And it got me a little convicted because I had tracks in the car, but I didn't have any on me. Somebody else had put a track down, but I was sad because I can put one down too. And so, thinking about witnesses to the officer who took his life this past week, you know, I had the opportunity to witness to him. First thing I thought of is, maybe what's the first thing he's remembering right now in hell? I believe he died lost, but you know, he could probably hear me continuously tell him why he was making fun of me. You know, tell him that, you know, he needed to get saved, and he would laugh at me. And I handed him a track, and he had the track. He had it up on his board every time I walked into the office. He'd have, you know, how to get saved. He had the track pinned up to his wall there. And I'd always tell him, you know, did you read it? You know, you have any other questions? And I preached to him. I've told him again and again. And but what can we do? We tell others about the person of Christ, the power of Christ, the pain of Christ. And lastly, we tell them about the purpose of Christ. He says here, being made conformable unto his death. And so how many times do we want to suffer with Christ, but we don't want to go as far as to know anything about Christ's death? And if he didn't die, then how would we have a way to heaven? How would we have that full sin debt payment? And so we look at the desires of Paul this morning. It's a real quick sermon this morning for Sunday school. But in verse 10, there's a lot of things we can take away from this morning, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And so how many times do we want to be submissive to the Lord, but we don't want to be submissive in the sense that we don't want to give our all up until the point of death? And so a lot of the writers of the New Testament, Old Testament, they had to give their life physically because of what they believed in. And so many times we want to do that, but we never want to step up to the plate and actually partake in that. And so I encourage you this week, as we hear other preachers preaching way better than I am, and I've only been preaching for going on 2 years this December, but the Lord has given me the opportunity the past 2 years to witness to more and more people. He opened the door to more and more people, and he's given me the opportunity to study more, to read more, and understand the scriptures more, because having the desires of Paul here, we can see how an example he is for us, that we may know him. So I thank you for letting me preach this morning real quick. If we take anything away this morning, we may know him. We don't want to be idle, as you said this morning, brother. But how many times are we busybodies? We're busy for the Lord, but we're not really doing anything. We're just spinning our wheels in the things that we do. So that's it.